Jesus is worthy to be praised. Our Father is an awesome God. And so you cannot beat that combination. That God is good and He is strong. Are you guys ready for the PTL party? Well, one of us is. Okay, let me say it again. Are we ready for the PTL party?
Yeah.
All right. Real quickly, before we have a message, I'd like to have you turn in your, if you got your Bibles, turn to Psalm chapter 2, verse 8. Actually, we're going to read verses 7 and 8. David writes, "I will proclaim the decree of the Lord." This is what the Lord speaks. "He said to me, 'You are my son. Today I have become your father. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your inheritance.'" Ask of me, and I will make the nations your inheritance. How many want the nations for your inheritance? Well, let's talk about that for a minute. Maybe you don't want the nations for your inheritance. I don't know, but the Lord says to the Lord Jesus Christ, God says to His Son, "Ask of me, and I'll give you the nations for your inheritance." And that means that Jesus is going to rule over the world. He's going to rule over every nation, okay? So He says, but the Son asks for the nations as His inheritance. Now listen, this verse applies to us in this way, that Paul tells us that we are joint heirs with Christ, and His inheritance is our inheritance. Amen? We are joint heirs with Christ. And so the inheritance that Jesus receives, we receive. So we have the right to begin to ask God for the nations. Now we're going to ask God for the nations today. Amen? How many want to do that? All right, that's good. We're getting there. Now, understand, when the Bible talks about nations like this, nations, we tend to separate them into what we would think of as nations of the world, like the USA is a nation, and so we draw these physical boundaries to the nation. And so we think of all the nations in the world that way, but the word literally means people groups, okay? And so it's not just in the United States, there are a lot of people groups. And so in this particular case, we're going to make the nations that we're going to ask for today the children, because that's who we're going after on Friday night. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, we're not here just to have fun and games, even though we're going to have lots of fun and lots of games, but we're here to see salvation brought into the lives of some of the children who come. And so we want to pray for that, okay? And we want to ask God, give us the nations Friday night. And the nation that we're going to focus on is the nation of children in southern Cook County, okay? And since there will be some kids coming from Denton County, we'll just say North Texas, okay? And so you want to do that? You want to ask God for the nation of the children Friday night? All right, where'd all the children go? Oh, they're back there. Okay, I need you guys. Come here, Emily. And all the boys up there in the row in front of them with the funny colored hair. My goodness. Okay, come on up here for a minute, guys. Okay. Come on, Joshua. I want you up here. Come on, Caleb. Okay. Oh, Caleb, you can come up too. Okay. Okay, let's see. We got 2, 4, 6. That ought to be good. Okay, what I want you to do. Okay, Caleb Yostin, I want you to go stand right over there sit next to Brenda Sparkman. Okay? Okay, Emily, I want you to go sit right between Natalie and, what's your name? Barbara. Okay, go sit. Okay, right there. Okay. You get to go over there. You know, see in the second row there? See that real good-looking girl on the left? You see her? Okay, right behind Simon, there's a good-looking girl.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I want you to go sit next to her.
Which one?
Which good-looking girl?
Yeah.
Well, that's... That's the dilemma that every young man has to face. You just go pick. Okay. No, it's the one on the left. Okay.
The row right behind Simon?
Yeah, you got it. Go sit next to Linda. Okay. I want you to go sit. Okay. Okay, go stand by Andy. Okay. Andy. Okay. You get to go stand over there by Jess Maxwell. He's the guy that makes all the donuts and stuff for you. Okay? You got that? Okay. Now, way in the back there is my wife. You see her? Okay. Go sit next to my wife. Okay. Now, Molly and Rebecca, you get to join this group. Okay? Okay. So what I want you to do, this is going to kind of be a prophetic thing. Okay. The children that are assigned to your area, I want you to gather around them. I want you to lay hands on them, and I want you to pray over them. But the children are representing the children that are going to come Friday night. Okay? So we're going to have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 groups praying prophetically over the children that are going to come Friday night. And each one of the kids that I have assigned, that's who you're going to focus on. They're going to be the representation for the children, okay? So go gather around your group. And now we're going to add, and they represent the nation of children in our midst. And don't be afraid, children. They won't hurt you. It'll be good stuff. You represent the children of this area. Okay, and let's just ask God for salvation among the children on Friday night. Let's go. Let's pray. Lord God, we would just ask that as your word teaches us that it is you who draw men to the Father. So we would ask that you would draw the hearts of the young children to you. The Lord, you would bring wholeness and salvation into their life at a young age. So some of the stuff that they walk through as they grow up will not have an impact upon them because you are their mighty shield in their fortress. That you would watch over their feet and the path that they would walk. Lord God, we would just bless that which takes place here Friday night in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Judges in the Old Testament in chapter 6. And we're going to talk about Gideon. Gideon is one of my favorite characters. He represents us. Most people have a self-image about as the way that Gideon had a self-image of himself. And so most people can relate to Gideon and his encounter with the Lord. But the context of God visiting Gideon is the Israelites have turned from the Lord. The Midianites were their enemy at the time, and they had gained the upper hand. And so the Midianites, it said, for 7 years oppressed Israel. And they would come in during the harvest time and destroy all the crops and chase the Israelites up into the caves, into the hills. And so for 7 years, the Israelites, you know, were destitute. And basically, they were under the thumb of the Midianites. And then the people of Israel begin to cry out to God. And oftentimes when we cry out to God, God hears our cry. A lot of times we cry out to God or we pray to God and it's like, well, God, if you show up, that's great. And if you don't, that's okay too. And a lot of times when we pray, there's a prayer, but there is not an urgency about it. Well, in the land of Israel at this time, there's a great urgency because you've really been under the hand of a very powerful enemy who gives you no freedom at all. And so they begin to cry out with urgency to God, and God hears their cry, and he comes to deliver the people of Israel. Now, I don't know how many times there are in the Bible that God comes to deliver the people of Israel, but whenever they cry out to God, God begins to act and come into their midst in miraculous ways. God begins to show up. Now, one of the things we need to understand that when God shows up, when God chooses to do things on this earth, God doesn't just do things. It's not like we sit back and we cry out with urgency to God and then we expect God just to do everything. When God does stuff, the biblical record is that God does stuff, but he does it through men. And so he needs a deliverer for the Israelites in Egypt. God shows up and he speaks to Moses and says, Moses, you're the man. And Moses says, I don't think so. And oftentimes when God says, you know, shows up and says, you're it, and the people say, wait a minute, not me, you must have somebody else in mind. And that's literally what's going to happen with Gideon. So Gideon is on the threshing floor and he's trying to, you know, find some wheat. And an angel of the Lord appears, and this is in Gideon chapter 6, verse 12. It says, when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said to Gideon, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. And one of the first things you notice, here is a people that has been downtrodden for 7 years. They're basically in captivity in their own country. You know, whenever the enemy comes, they scurry into the caves in the foothills. When the enemy leaves, they go back down, they plant the crops, and when the crops get ready to be harvested, here comes the enemy again and steals all their stuff. So for 7 years, all their stuff has been taken by Midian. And so if you have all your stuff taken every year and you don't get a chance to get stuff, you know, the fruit of your labor is being stolen by the enemy, and it's this way for 7 years. At the end of 7 years, you don't have a whole lot of stuff. And you're pretty destitute, and you are weak. And Gideon realizes that we as a people are weak, but Gideon says to the Lord, he says, no, wait a minute. He says, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. And so this is how Gideon thinks. He says, my family amounts to nothing in this clan, and I'm the least in the family. So where on the scale of 1 to 10 does Gideon rank himself? 1. Yeah, that's about how he thinks about himself. Now, we think that way about ourselves often, but God sees us differently. Amen? God sees us differently than what we think about ourselves. Amen? Okay. Do you think of yourselves as the holy ones of God? How many think of yourselves as the holy ones of God? Yeah. See, we kind of, well, yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Well, the Bible speaks about we are the holy ones of God. We are the holy ones of God. Now, the devil's there, and he's just beating us up all the time. Man, because he says, you're not the holy ones of God. Look at the mess that you make with your life. Look at all the fights you get into. Look at your thought life. Yeah, you are not the holy ones of God. And we begin to think what the devil says is true. But now, let me ask you, are we going to be a people that listen to what the devil says, or are we going to be a people who listen to what God says? Are we going to be a people who live by what the devil says or by what God's Word teaches us? Come on. By God's Word. So if His Word calls us the holy ones of God, who are we? We're the holy ones of God. It does not matter what the devil says about us. It doesn't matter what we think about ourselves in the sense that what I think about myself, does it change what God's Word says? It doesn't. What happens, though, when we think opposite of what the Word of God teaches, then we tend to just kind of stay right over here and not fulfill what God's purpose for us is. So we tend to think, okay, I'm just a sinner, and God says, no, you're a holy one. Okay, if I believe that I'm a holy one, I want to live up to what I am. Amen? Amen. If I think I'm a sinner, well, then it doesn't matter what I do because I'm going to sin. But that's just living up to what I think about myself. We need to think what God speaks about us, that's who we are. And so then we want to live up to that. Amen? So Gideon, he's thinking, I'm the least. I'm number 1. And the Midianites are number 10, you know, and you know the rest, some of the other people are 4 or 5 maybe. But the Lord shows up and he says to Gideon, he says, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. So right away, we have this real conflict between what God's Word is to Gideon and what Gideon thinks about himself. Gideon thinks, I'm number 1. And God says, no, Gideon, you're not just at level 1. You're a mighty warrior. You're kind of number 10. Because you're going to crush the people who you think are number 10. Yeah. So you're a mighty warrior. And so now we got this conflict. And most of the story about Gideon is God changing his mind and the way he thinks about himself, so that when he goes into battle, that Gideon goes in knowing that I'm a mighty warrior and God is going to deliver Israel through my hands. It's that simple. That's what the story of Gideon is all about. But the angel says, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. And Gideon kind of, you know, hesitates and, you know, backs off on that. And then the Lord in 14 says, the Lord turned to Gideon and he said, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? Okay, got that? He says, go in the strength that you have. What was the strength that Gideon had? I mean, physically, well, I mean, what is it that Gideon had that he possessed that he could go and fight the Midianites with? That's right. Zip. He had no strength. He's admitted to the angel of the Lord who's appearing to him, I'm the least in my family, and my family is the weakest in the clan. There is nothing within me that would make me a mighty warrior. There is nothing within me that would cause me to go and deliver Israel. But now listen, this is important for us to understand, is that the promise here is he's been called, his identity. You are to think of yourself as a mighty warrior. So say mighty warrior. Okay. And then God says to him, am I not sending you? God sends him. Say that. God sends him. Okay. That is important. Because Gideon is not going in his own authority to fight this battle. God is sending him. And so when God sends us, we don't go in our own authority, but we're going in the authority of the Lord. Amen? And so, you know, Zechariah 4:6 says something like this. It's not by might or by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. So it's not strength. As David says, it's not in chariots, it's not in the strength of men's legs and in the might of horses that the battle is won. It's that the Lord fights our battle for us. And so here's Gideon, he's I'm the weakest, and God says, you're a mighty warrior. And Gideon's hesitating to go. He says, listen, am I not sending you? And God, when he speaks, am I not sending you, is basically telling Gideon, you have my authority when you go to act. Now listen, if we have God's authority, nothing can stop us. Amen? Amen? When we go in our own strength, a lot of things can stop us. But when we go in the authority that God gives to us, then nothing can stop us. Amen? Amen? Okay, just want you to tune in on this. It says, look at verse 16. This is when Gideon is responding. And again, I can't do this. I am weak, and I cannot do this. And then the Lord answers him. He says, I will be with you. So he has identity given to him. The angel of the Lord says, you're a mighty warrior. He has authority. God says, am I not sending you? You're not going in your own strength. You're going in my strength, in my authority. So he has authority of God. He has identity given to him by God. And then he has the presence of God with him. So God's promise to Gideon is this. Here you are, and I'm going to send you over there, and you're going to deliver the nation of Israel. You know, I'm going to deliver them through you. But Gideon, you're going to have to go. If you stay here, nothing's going to happen. But if you go, and you're a mighty warrior, you're going to fight a battle, in other words. It's not in your strength, but I'm going to fight the battle for you. You go in my authority, and then you go, and when you go, know that I am with you. When you go, I will fight the battle, and you'll see a victory. Amen? Now that's basically the sequence that Gideon has been given by the Lord. You're a mighty warrior. You're going to go in my authority, and I'm going to be with you in the battle. Now, a lot of times we want to go into battle and just, you know, have the Lord fight for us, and we don't have to actually really do anything. It's just kind of like, God, if I just go, and the Lord says, I'll be with you, and I'm going to fight the battle for you, but I need you so I can operate through you. You know, I don't know why God doesn't just call down lightning from heaven and just strike all the Midianites and poof, Israel is free. He could do that, but he doesn't. I don't know why today God doesn't just go call down lightning and poof, situations are solved, but God doesn't work that way. God works through men and women. We are his, you know, when we talk about the church being the body of Christ, it's so simple. It's like we are the hands of Jesus on the face of this earth today. The world looks at the church or the body of Christ. And what the body of Christ does, God moves through the body of Christ. He moves through the church. And if the church doesn't go, then nothing happens. If the church does not move in the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, nothing happens. Have you ever noticed that? If we do nothing, guess what is the result?
Nothing.
Okay, now, kind of got this idea. Established who we are, or who Gideon is, mighty warrior. Established that God says, I am sending you. I have a purpose for your life, Gideon. In other words, Gideon, you are here for this purpose. You are going to be the one through whom I deliver Israel. And then we have the fact that God says, promises, I will be with you. Now, I share that because God calls you to go. Okay. So, in case you need to know, turn into the New Testament. Turn to Matthew chapter 28. And in Matthew 28, we have this passage of Scripture that says something like this. Then Jesus came to the disciples and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and then of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And so, what is it that he's come to his disciples and he's already established that you are sons of God? Here's their identity. We are God's sons. And Jesus says, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. Amen? So we're supposed to do what? Go. Just like God came to Gideon and he says, Gideon, I want you to go to the Midianites, yeah, and I'm going to deliver Israel through you, but you've got to go. Okay. So he speaks to us now. He speaks to his followers and he says, listen, you are to go into all the world. You have a purpose in your life and it is not just to get to heaven. That is not our purpose. And we all said, amen. Listen, if we're living to get to heaven, we're missing the purpose for which God has for us today. Now, we'll get to heaven, but that's a byproduct, okay? That is something that is going to occur. But while we're alive on this earth, our purpose is to go and make disciples of all nations. Our purpose is to work so that God's kingdom can be established. And that free, you know, when we talk about God's kingdom being established, we're really talking about salvation coming to men and women. Amen? Okay, come on. You guys are really sleepy today. Okay? Yeah, they're all in the back row. Yeah. Okay, listen. When we talk about the kingdom of God being expanded on this earth, we're talking about salvation coming. And we need to understand salvation is not about going to heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Well, what's salvation about then? Jesus says something like this in John 17:3. He says, and this is eternal life, that they may know you and they know me. Okay? We have eternal life when we know God the Father and we know Jesus Christ. That's salvation. That's eternal life. And so it's not about, you know, salvation is not about going to heaven. Salvation is about getting the ability to relate to God the Father and personally know Him. And so, if we have Jesus, then what happens? Jesus is the Prince of Peace, the Prince of Shalom. And that Hebrew word shalom, when we tend to think of peace, here's what the Greeks came along and they think of peace as the absence of warfare. Okay? And so we tend to think in terms of, you know, if there is an absence of conflict, then there's peace. The Hebrew understanding of peace is that it's more of wholeness and completeness. And so that if there's some things in our life that is fractured, then we don't have wholeness. And so the blessing then of God is that shalom to you, wholeness be given to you in your life. So we can, so salvation then, for the understanding from the Hebrew perspective, salvation is not just my soul or my spirit being made whole and one with God, but salvation includes that my life is not fractured and torn up in pieces, so that there is harmony with my brothers and my sisters, and there's just not hostility going on between in relationships, but there's wholeness and completeness. So salvation then for the Jews and for the Hebrews was this. The salvation is that it affects my entire life. It affects not only my spiritual life, but it affects my physical life. It affects my emotional life. It affects my the soul, the way I think, and my mind begins to be made whole. It's not fractured. So when we have a relationship with Jesus, then we begin to be whole because He brings wholeness to us, because He is the Prince of wholeness. And so, you know, God's purpose, and when we talk about advance, we live to see the kingdom of God come on this earth. And His will done on this earth, just as His the Father's will is done in heaven, is simply this, is we want wholeness to come into our world. We want completeness to come, that which God intended for the created world, they would experience that. And the number one thing that God wants is relationship with the created world. And so here we are. We got the nations for the inheritance. We got these children. A lot of them are broken. Amen? They're broken. They come from broken homes. They're fractured because they have no relationship with God. And so there's all kinds of stuff in their life. And we say, God, we want shalom to be theirs. We want wholeness to be given to them. It starts with salvation, because with salvation, then they connect with Jesus Christ. And once we have a relationship with the Prince of Peace, wholeness can be brought into order in our life. Apart from that, we're just putting Band-Aids on major wounds, okay? And the wounds never get healed. So these children need Jesus. The world needs Jesus. And so here we're like Gideon. God speaks to the disciples. He speaks to us, and He says, I want you to go. And as you go, you're going to make disciples of all nations, of all the people groups. You know, go reach some. And then you disciple them and you bring them into wholeness. And here's what we think. We think, well, I don't know if I can do that. Because we tend to think, we're down here one. We're like Gideon in his self-image. He says, Lord, I don't have anything. Well, basically the Lord speaks to you just like He speaks to Gideon. And He says this, you go in the strength that you do have. Which was, Gideon had zip. So if we don't have anything, we can still go, right? But if we have what we do have, and if all that we have is our physical body, we're literally going to go with our physical body and see what God does through us. Amen? And we find that when we get here, some things happen. Now, how do they happen? That's the miraculous part of it. That God says, I'll be with you, because it's not you just going and then you're facing the enemy, but I'm with you. So God is there facing the enemy, but He's going to work through us. And so all the time that we see in the Bible, we see this concept of God taking men and women who don't have a whole lot of confidence of what they're about to do, but they know that God is with me and God is sending me. So here I am, and then God shows up. So we just need to understand, when God says to us, to all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, I give it to you so that you can go. Okay? Now, where do we get the idea that God gives us His authority? In John 20, 21, Jesus says this. He says, as the Father has sent me, and Jesus came in the authority of God the Father. Jesus says, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. Okay? So that means that God is sending us. Amen? God is sending us. He says, I give you these instructions. You go. And so, you know, we're going to go Friday night, right? We're going to go right here. And we're going to see what God does. You know, God's going to show up. God is with us on Friday night. God has sent us to establish this PTL party, and it's not just a PTL party. It's a vessel or a vehicle for the Spirit of God to come and draw men and women unto Himself, and wholeness begin to be established in the lives of individuals. So somebody say amen on that one. Now, last week, we're thinking, okay, well, God is sending me, but it'd really be nice if God was with me. Amen? How many want God with us? Okay? We want God with us. And Jesus says this in verse 20, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So that means when we gather, God is going to be with us. Amen? God is with us always. So when we gather on Friday night, we're having the PTO party, God is here. Now we want God to show up, not in the general sense that God is here, but we want Him to show up and manifest His presence here so that He will draw the children to Him. And so that's what we want you to pray for this week. Yeah, your focus of your prayer life needs to be on the PTO party. Let me say that again. I could care less about the election on November 4th. I want you to pray about the PTO party. That is more important than the election. Gosh, got quiet on this one. Let me tell you why it's more important. Because it's a kingdom thing. The choosing of the president is a national thing. And it affects our nation. But we're talking kingdom is what we're after. I know if the wrong guy gets in, it affects our nation. But you know, there are a whole lot of Christians who don't live in a Christian nation. And they survive. And the church grows in nations who do not have godly rulers. And it's possible for us to thrive without a godly ruler. That's almost heresy, but that's the truth. But there's going to be some kids who are going to give their life to the Lord Jesus Christ Friday night. And will literally change their life. And who knows? One of those kids coming from North Texas may grow up and change our nation. So, what I'm asking you is I want you to pray for the nation of the children to be our inheritance Friday night. God has called us. We're going to go, and we're going to, with what we have, God is with us, and we're going to see the kingdom advance Friday night. It's that simple. Now, one last thing, and then I'll let you out. In Acts, Paul was in Corinthians. In Corinth. And up to this point, about every prayer that Paul went, you know, he shares Jesus with the people, and a lot of people start following him, and then immediately there's this riot in the town, and Paul gets beat up or stoned or whatever and driven out of town. And he comes to Corinth, same thing starts to happen. And so when it says in 18... it says, Paul left the synagogue when they kind of kicked him out of the synagogue. And so it says, Paul left the synagogue, went next door to the house of Titius Justus, a worshiper of God. Crispus, the synagogue ruler, and his entire household believed in the Lord, and many of the Corinthians who heard him believed and were baptized. And one night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. He said, "Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent, for I am with you. And no one is going to attack and harm you, because I have many people in this city." So Paul stayed in Corinth for a year and a half, teaching them the word of God. So when the word of the Lord came to Paul, and it was like, "Don't be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one is going to attack and harm you, because I have many people in this city." We read this stuff, and we think, okay, man, he's got it. The way has been cleared. It's smooth sailing from here on out, because God is with me. Because God has said nobody's going to attack and harm me. So be bold and keep on speaking and don't give up on this thing. And just stay here. Because God's with me, the doors are opened, and my path is smooth. That's what we tend to think when God says this kind of stuff to us. And it says in verse 12, then it says, "While Gallio was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews made a united attack on Paul." I love this. Paul gets his word from the Lord, and the Lord says, "I'm with you, Paul. Stay here. Don't run. You know, they're not going to attack you and harm you." And then the very next verse, Paul obeys God. And the very next verse, it says, the Jews unite in Corinth to attack Paul. And they haul him off to court. And so it's like, well, gee. You know, we often think, okay, God is with us. You know, and if we just go, God shows up and everything just is hunky-dory. And in reality, as we show up and we want everything to be hunky-dory, and God just show up and, everything's fine. And we show up and we say, "Now what, God?" And God says, "Start fighting." Well, wait a minute. Fight with what? Because Gideon didn't have anything. But God said, get your little trumpets, and all the Jews had their little ram's horns, as they could blow a horn and get a jar, you know, and get a jar and get your lantern, okay, and you're going to go. And the two things you had, no weapons, just, it was kind of funny going into battle with a jar and a lantern, right? You're not going to win, are you? If you go up against somebody with a sword.
No.
Yeah, you're not going to win. But Gideon knows he's going to win because God's with him. So what I have my jar and I got my lantern. And so they throw the jar on the ground, all of them at the same time, and they all light up their lanterns, and then they shout, "For the Lord and for Gideon." And God shows up. Now, God doesn't show up before that. He shows up during this thing. And the Midianites are routed because they're startled and they see this stuff at night, and they assume that they are surrounded by this huge army. And so the Midianites, in their confusion, turn on themselves and start killing and fighting among themselves and killing themselves. So then Gideon and his 300 guys just charge into the thing, and then they grab the swords and start chasing the rest of the Midianites. And so, listen, there's always, when God calls us to go, and here's where we're supposed to be, and we say, okay, now God, do something, and God says, you start fighting. There's conflict, okay? And so, that's why you're a mighty warrior, because you're going into battle, you know? Listen, just because God calls you and says, go, just because God sends you, and he says, I am sending you, and just because God says, I am with you, does not mean that there's not going to be conflict. Because there is an opposition that stands opposed to us. And so we have to be willing to, with what we have, fight the enemy. But in that battle that ensues, God shows up. And the territory is ours. Amen? So, good news, guys. We're going into battle on Friday night. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, let's stand. Now, we got to say amen a little harder than that, and so we're just kind of sitting back and just, amen. I'm glad Joe is with me. With Joe at my right hand, we will go. Okay. Friday night, we're going to take territory. Amen?
Amen.
Friday night, we're going to see an inheritance granted to us. Amen?
Amen.
And the inheritance we're specifically asking for is the children of this area. Amen?
Amen.
And so we pray for that. That is our heart's cry to God. We're crying out to God this week for that inheritance of the nation. And Friday night, we will see children come into the kingdom of God. Not just because we pray, but because we go. And not just because we go, because God is here. We go in His authority and God is here. And as we go through the activities, God will show up and bring people into His kingdom. So let's pray for that right now. Raise your hands up, okay? Just pray with your hands up before the Lord. God, we stand before You this morning, and we just come, and we want to declare that we want to see children, the nation of children in our midst in North Texas, come to salvation Friday night. We want to see Your kingdom advance in greater measure. We want wholeness to begin to be established in the lives of children. We do not want them to go through youth as broken people. We want to see them as youth go through life as whole people, because You have established wholeness in their life. God, we ask that as we walk in faithfulness to You, as we go to where You have sent us to go this Friday night, that we will see Your presence and Your manifest presence and Your kingdom come and established in greater measure, because You work through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. And our Shabbat is all glory to Jesus. Are you ready for this, Michaela?
Sure.
Okay, I want to hear you this morning. Okay, none of this wimpy stuff. Okay. Are you ready?